Hello, everyone, and welcome to back to the Strokes and Jokes podcast. We have our celebrities Connor Jones and Jake Neen on today. Last time we talked, I know Jake. You know, we had the whole 36-hole conversation. That was tough, especially you telling us, you know, oh, we play those all the time, and we were like, oh,
no, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Connor, I know Connor talked to us a little bit about like his kind of like big plans, like as far as like post college golf goes. So basically, just how has everything been going since like we last spoke for you guys?
Go ahead, Jake.
Go, Connor. So I mean, a lot of things have happened, obviously. With
Jake's really good, by the way, in case you guys haven't known that.
What'd you say, Connor?
I said you're pretty good, in case they haven't noticed that. But anyway, well, go on.
So in January, I got my card on PGA Tour Latino America. So I got conditional status there, but it wasn't great conditional status. So I decided to also do Mackenzie Tour Hugh School, and I got my card on there too. So I had status on PGA Tour Latino America and PGA Tour Canada. And I was basically going to try to commit as much as I could to the Mackenzie Tour this summer and then see if I got into any Latino America events in the fall. And that's all on hold right now. So I'm back up in Michigan, just hanging out at home. And luckily, golf courses are opening up here, so I can practice and play a little bit.
Connor, you want me to go? No, all right. I didn't know if you were done or not, so I was like,
That's pretty much it.
Let's see. Man, when did we talk last? Was it
August?
I think it was right before school, summer.
Yeah, well, we talked to Connor in August, and Jake, we talked when you were in Nashville.
In September.
October. Yeah, so yeah, basically, I think it was right before the Toledo Open.
Yeah,
so
it was.
I played that my last amateur event. Mid-October, I got down to Florida and pretty much just started trying to adapt to the professional lifestyle. I mean, pretty much just eat, sleep, breathe golf. Obviously you're trying to figure out what kind of routine works best for you and, you know, what you kind of listen to your body, especially at the beginning, figuring out, you know, how many hours a day you want to practice, what kind of routine you're, you know, is it hitting balls? Is it working on your short game? Obviously Florida has Bermuda. So it's a little bit tougher to adapt to, especially coming from up here. But, yeah, I mean, I think I was down there for a week or two, and then I started playing tournaments. I think in the fall I ended up playing from October to December. I think I played like 10 one-day events just to kind of get my feet wet. And then I came back for January. I had to have nose surgery, so I was home in Michigan all month. Then, I don't know, beginning of February, I went back down because I had signed up for Mackenzie Tour Q School and got into Michigan as well with Jake. So pretty much was down there playing a few more one-day events, trying to get some good prep work done, and felt pretty good. Went to Q School. Obviously, it was our college conference course, and I didn't play very well. I think I finished my last five holes at 5 over. So I ended up shooting like 79, 78 the first 2 days. Had to shoot a couple under combined the last 2 days to get any type of conditional status, and ended up shooting 74, 74. So I putted pretty poorly. I literally probably had 40 putts the first day. But it was an awesome experience. I mean, I definitely learned quite a bit. And then obviously it's pretty cool that you get to hang out with your friends. So Jake and I stayed at the resort. He stayed with his parents and I stayed with my buddy, Zach, who was caddying for me. So we pretty much hung out every night. So it was pretty cool. Definitely helps to have people. I mean, I think what I played, well, I played the first three rounds with our buddy Nico too. So it was kind of cool. I mean, I had a really good experience. Like I said, broke down my rounds after, and I hit a few pretty bad shots, but nothing that should have cost me a whole lot. And I mean, my putter was just brutal. So pretty much after that,
yeah, it is
pretty much after that. I mean, everything sort of, well, we played the Valspar pre-qualifier a couple of days after.
Yeah, I mean, really, after Mackenzie Tour Q School, that's when everything started shutting down, and we did that pre-qualifier for the Valspar Championship, and then the next day was the Friday of the players where they shut everything down.
Jake and I played. He was – what were you, the group in front of me?
I was, like, one or two groups ahead of you. Yeah.
So, like, we went and – so we played a practice round the day before, and then we went and played Thursday, like, and then we went to lunch. We went to Applebee's, and it was kind of when everything started. So there weren't a whole lot of people there. But it was just so weird because they were talking about the players and how they weren't going to have fans there. And then, I mean, we're eating lunch, and basically they were like, yeah, we're shutting down the players completely. And we were like, what? So, I don't know. Like, it was just so weird and so fast how everything kind of hit the fan. And pretty much, I think I ended up – so I went back to Naples with my buddy, and I think I was only there another 9 or 10 days. And then once everything kind of started shutting down, I was like, I might as well go home. Like, I really don't have much to plan. I know Jake stayed down there a little longer than I did, but at the time, I didn't feel like it was, for me, the right thing to do, because I was that Valspar pre-qualifier. I don't think I've ever hit a golf ball so bad. I mean, literally, I shot 75. I think I must have had, like, 26 putts. Like, it was insane. Yeah, so pretty much I was just like, I guess I'm going to go home. Like, I don't know what else to do. And it's nice because my two sisters, one lives in North Carolina, one lives in South Carolina. So I ended up going to see them, killed a couple days, and then ended up coming back home. So just wild times, man. This is... Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, for my first year, like, I would never think anything would happen like this. But here we are. So we're just kind of – I don't know, we're just kind of at this point trying to kill time with this quarantine thing.
Yeah. So with that, like, I guess, like – so you guys are both still, like, still have, like, hopes and dreams of, like, making a living off, like, playing professional golf. So like, how's that going to affect your future plans? Cause you guys aren't necessarily like having any opportunities to make money right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a waiting game for this year. I'm hoping that, you know, things start, you know, returning back to normal. You know, the PGA Tour has put out that they're going to try to resume playing like mid June, but haven't heard anything about Latino America or the Mackenzie Tour. So I don't know if they're going to just push it back a year, like giving my card for 2021. I don't know if Korn Ferry Tour Q School is going to happen this fall or not. So it's weird. And, you know, I've always been the type to practice and play with like the next tournament on my mind. You know, I'm getting ready for this tournament, for this golf course. I need to practice hitting these shots. You know, I need, you know, to hit a lot of three woods off the tee or whatever it may be. And now it's like, I don't know how I'm going to play another tournament for the rest of this year. So, you know, like I said, I'm just hoping this clears up, and by midsummer, I can play in something significant, so I can try to move up the ladder. But yeah, it's kind of weird right now.
Yeah, it really is, especially for us. You know, our spring golf season was canceled completely, and we're kind of left out there. I guess we don't know if we're going to be playing in the fall or not, and all of this stuff just kind of like took everything and just put the brakes on. And it's like, wow, it's like, so it's so crazy to think about how fast everything just seemed to like stop and everything was put off.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we played our pre-qualifier, and a couple days later, I just happened to check my email. I sent Jake a text, and I was like, did you get that email from the North Florida PGA? And they sent everyone that played $61 back as, like, a refund, which the number is kind of irrelevant. I thought it was really random, but, yeah, it was so weird. So everyone that played in the pre-qualifier got money back, and then
– because the actual event got canceled.
Yeah, so – and then pretty much, obviously – they just started wiping out tournament after tournament. So, yeah, everything's just happened so fast. You can't really prepare for something like that, especially guys like us. I mean, mini tours, you can't make a living anymore. It's just not like – it's more so you're playing for Q School prep and whatnot. So, yeah, now it's just like – I mean, I have two jobs up here, but – they're both shut down too. Like, I work at Golf Galaxy, and they were like, oh, we're not opening the store until at least the middle of May. And then obviously our governor extended the stay at home thing. So, I mean, dude, I might not even be going back to work until June, let alone playing competitively. So yeah, we're pretty much just all sitting here, and it's just a waiting game. You kind of can't do anything for it.
Yeah, and also the Michigan Open was supposed to be early June. So I was kind of thinking, okay, you know, all this is canceled, but like the Michigan Open is like early June, at least, you know, we can play in that. And then
right,
like 3 or 4 days ago, they indefinitely postponed that. And it's just, what really is surprising to me is how far in advance they're postponing things. Like, it's just hard for me to wrap my head around, you know, them, you know, like canceling the British Open, for example. That's in like mid to late July. Like, how do you know that it's not going to be, you know, good by then? But I mean, it's, the world has obviously never seen anything like this in her lifetime. So I don't know.
Well, I think with the
U.S.,
it was like they had some insurance policy that they had. So if they canceled it by a certain date, they could claim use their insurance policy on that.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I mean, literally, like, when you start – so, like, the Rocket Mortgage up here in Detroit, I know you guys went last year, but, you know, obviously it was supposed to be the end of May this year. So, like, I was supposed to play my Michigan Open qualifier and then the next day play my Rocket Mortgage pre-qualifier. And then, obviously, like, so it was so weird, though, because I was like, they canceled, at the time, they had canceled it through, like, the first half of May. And they were talking about coming back with Colonial and then the Rocket. And they kind of kept them for a long time. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, why have they not just canceled the whole month of May? And then they clearly were working on stuff behind the scenes because they ended up keeping the Colonial and Rocket. But they moved them to first part of June?
Yeah.
July?
The Rocket's over 4th of July.
Yeah. So it's just crazy how everything's happening.
I mean, even the tournaments that are scheduled in July are no fans, and
They say the first four are supposed to be no fans, which sucks because the Rocket's the fourth one. But it's just, I don't know. I mean, I texted Jake the other day. I was like, do you even think they're going to have, like, pre-qualifying the rest of the year? Because I feel like so many guys on the tour are going to want to play that the guys that have the, you know, the lesser status are just going to get booted out. So then it's, you know, then it's those guys go into the Monday qualifier and then those get filled up and then it goes to pre-qualifying. It's like, with such a limited schedule, are they just going to cut all that out for the rest of the year or what?
So since, like, finally, you know, for Michigan, like Carter told us, like, you know, finally Michigan residents can play golf instead, like Carter was like sneaking out on courses and stuff, but like, you know, and just, you know, just trying to hide and play. Yeah. You guys have like memberships when you guys are home, or like, how do you guys kind of, you know, go from, you know, being on like mini tours and stuff and doing all your Q school qualifying and stuff, and then just kind of suddenly get thrown back into home and still having to, like, you know, keep up on practicing and playing and preparing for, you know, the next possible tournament or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, in this whole transition, I didn't touch a golf club for 3 weeks to a month, which is like, I can't even tell you the last time that that
unheard of. Literally unheard of.
So, yeah, I did join a club near me called Prestwick Village. They have a pretty good rate for guys like me. So that's where I play. But, I mean, they were, you know, shut down for a while, and, you know, it was still snowing here and there, like early April and everything. So, I mean, it's kind of been weird, but, I mean, just trying to, you know, count my blessings and that I'm, you know, I'm healthy and my family's healthy. So just trying to stay optimistic and playing a lot of Call of Duty.
Do you guys have Xbox? I don't have any gaming system, actually. I've been thinking about buying one, but I just keep spending a little bit of money on golf clubs. So
you need to buy an Xbox for sure.
Jake,
well,
to be
Xbox?
Fair, I have sold a few, so
I have a PS4.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
We're hoping, because have you guys ever heard of the game Golf Club?
Yes, my buddies love it.
Oh, it's amazing.
We have a society, and if you guys played Xbox, we were going to invite you to it so you guys could catch the work.
Oh, well, I'm not elite enough to join that company. I'm just a PS4 guy.
PS4.
What have you guys been doing through the whole, well, apart from school?
You know, I guess literally, I mean, just school. Other than that, I've been same thing, playing a ton of Xbox, lounging, sleeping, taking. I can't tell you last time I had like a legit night sleep. Like, I just like, oh, it's time for a nap, and then I'll wake
up.
You
take a nap whenever you feel like it. It's great, but it's also like, then you're not tired at midnight, so you're like, oh, I guess I'll just kill some more time, and then it's like 3 a.m. It's like, oh, perfect.
Spencer, what time did you take your nap today, and how long?
I think it started at like 2 o'clock, and I was actually sleeping in bed, and Coda came in my room with a Popeye's chicken sandwich or whatever. He drove over and got me some dinner. So I honestly would not be here without him bringing me that Popeye's chicken.
What a homie.
No kidding.
That's what I'm saying. So over this break, I've just been working here and there at the golf course, doing yard work, you know, homework, Fortnite, catching hella Fortnite doves with Spencer. Hella doves. Just about every game we get done. But
I'm drinking, so bad
drinking,
Fortnite.
Drinking a little too much, that's for sure.
I'm terrible at Fortnite.
I've done my fair share of drinking, I will say that.
I got so sick the other night at Spencer's house. Oh my god.
Oh boy.
Dude, yeah, we got terrible.
We got the snap at, I don't remember, like 10 o'clock, and he's like, "Yep, we're not doing that again."
I've puked for hours. And I usually don't puke. Oh, I'm not kidding. Like, I puked at, like, 10:30 and then, like, at 11:15 and then at, like, 12 and then at 1. I couldn't even go into work.
You puked at 10:30?
What?
Yeah.
You puked at 10:30?
In the morning, yeah.
Oh, no.
It was bad.
That's such a rough start to the day.
I never puke either. I usually am really good about it. But I drank probably more than I've ever drank in my life that night.
Quarantine.
Can't really.
Yeah, the quarantine effect.
I literally couldn't even go to work. I'd have someone come in for me.
Oh, my so gosh.
It was miserable.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That is such a bad morning.
Is this stuff right here? It's the devil's juice, if you can see it.
We can't see it, bud.
Shut up.
Crown apple?
It's the devil's juice.
It's the best. It's the only.
It's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I can't hate on you for that. The peach is also really good if you haven't had
it. I know.
Oh, peach is the goat. We can't even find it anywhere nowadays. Yeah,
like nowhere in my hometown has it. You can't even find it.
Oh, really?
It's like a, I'm trying to think of the word, an aphrodisiac in Mansfield. Have you guys ever had Screwball? Have you guys heard of Screwball?
The peanut butter whiskey?
Yes.
Oh.
You like it?
Peanut butter?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good, I'll be honest.
Oh, my God. It is god.
You can just mix that with so much stuff, and it's just, it's like,
yeah.
it just blends right in.
That yeah, peanut butter whiskey was gone.
Good. My buddy turned me on to it, so. Yeah, I've tried pretty much everything on the market that is affordable. I went to a cigar bar one time, and my buddy's dad knew the owner, and he was there, so we were just chit-chatting. He's like, oh, like, let me bring this out to you, and I'm like, sure, I'll taste it, and... He had like just got it in. It's a bottle. I don't remember what it was, but he was like, "Oh yeah, it's like $5.75 a bottle." And I said, "Huh?
Like 500?"
On my tab, because I was like, "Oh no,
Jesus Christ!"
Yeah, I mean, it was. I remember it being great, but I wiped the name out of my memory because I was not trying to ever look into that bottle.
You were tempted.
Oh my.
I mean, I don't think I could ever be tempted for $575. Not when I know I'm going to drink it. Like,
yeah.
I just looked up a $500 bottle of whiskey, and there's a lot. There's
that is insane.
$2,000 whiskey. Papa Van Winkle's Family Reserve 20-year Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, $2,000.
Is it in a gold bottle?
No. It might as well be, though.
You could buy a whole new set of clubs.
There's no way this is right. This bottle is called a Macallan 50-year-old straight whiskey, and it says it is $93,000.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no way.
Dude, for that, I better be able to just, like, put that in my house, and I can just sniff and be hammered, and it's awesome.
Right.
I should like,
it's like an air freshener.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Like, I don't think it would matter how much money I have. Like, I just don't think I would ever buy a bottle of alcohol that's that much.
Oh,
yeah. Like, are you just going to let it sit there for years and years and then open it? Like, what are you doing?
You just looking at it and just saying, man, I bet that tastes good. Like, you're just right. Going to stare at it?
Oh, I spent a grand on this. Looks great in my house. Like, it's not a decoration.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially, quarantine. If it was sitting on your shelf during quarantine, like, what would you do?
I'd be gone.
I'd slam it. That thing would be gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's just...
It's not like you're getting anything that special.
Yeah, I don't know what would
be. Unless it literally tastes like water.
If it tastes like water, then the bottle's going to be gone. That's not ideal. Yeah.
All right. So I actually have a question for you, Connor. So I think, I don't know who said it, but somebody said you've been buying golf clubs. What are kind of golf clubs have you been buying and why?
I'm interested to hear this
one. Obviously. Like, there's not really another answer to that, to be honest. Like, literally quarantine is the reason I sit on my phone and I just buy and trade and sell golf clubs all day on Golf WRX because I have a few too many.
A few? What's a few?
A lot. Huh.
Like, probably 5 extra bags worth.
Oh my God, that's enough for that is enough for all of us to have a bag of golf clubs from you if we needed it.
Yeah,
I could. Wow. I think literally could put. I could probably put 4 full sets together. Yeah.
He's always texting me like, "Dude, you'll never guess what I found for $30."
Like, I made me
steal 7 wood from 2006. Mint condition.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is I have a bunch of like tour only stuff. So a lot of it is I mean, obviously I have no source of income right now. So like I know how much some of the stuff is. And I know that people on Golf WRX are basically just gearheads like me. So I mean, I'll post them for like reasonable prices and people just jump on it. Mm-hmm. So I figured once I posted my first ad and made, you know, a pretty good amount, I mean, I've posted 3 ads and I've done pretty well. I've traded a few things, but sold most of them. And then because I'm selling most of my clubs, I feel like I should reimburse myself as a reward. So
got to get the inventory up so you can start the cycle again.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel like it's, you know, once I sell so many of my things, I feel like I should reward myself. It's not like I haven't bought a driver or anything. I bought a Tour AD driver shaft off a guy for $100. So, I mean, I got a $350 golf shaft for $100. So I was like, oh, why wouldn't I buy it?
Right.
I'm ridiculous, but that's all right.
Connor, what do you consider your best, like, hidden gem that you're like, that you would text Jake and be like, oh, man, you cannot believe the deal I just got?
Oh, man. Probably a couple weeks ago, I kind of noticed while I was in Florida, there were a few times that, I mean, it's sort of rare, but that I'd have to hit 2-iron in the par 5s. And I just like, didn't feel like I could launch it enough off of the Bermuda. So I actually was like, I wasn't even looking for anything. And I kind of did some research and I was like, oh, maybe like a 5-wood with a super low spin shaft would be good because 5-wood has to spin a little more. And I opened this guy's ad and he had one of the old slider. He had the 5 high launch, which is 21 degrees. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I got it for $25 and it's like 9 out of 10 condition. So oh, wow. I had a shaft, but like, I mean, for $25, it's kind of like an absolute steal.
Yeah.
That's legit. Yeah.
I mean, I have some stuff in my, like in my own personal stash that I will never sell, but yeah.
Spencer, is that a beer good or apple juice? How's that apple juice?
Oh, it's dude,
I absolutely love the boot.
it just came in today.
That's the only way to do it.
Just came in today.
Did you buy that at store?
I ordered it. Do you know who the Nelk Boys are?
Yes.
So, like, Steve Wolduitz, the blonde guy that, like, he, like, slammed, like, Conor McGregor's whiskey and everything. Well, this is like, so this is like the Steve Will Do It boot.
Oh,
that's phenomenal.
I'm a big Nelk fan. I really like those guys a lot.
So yeah, how much do you guys think that boot cost?
Oh boy,
what's the guesses?
Hopefully not more than like $30.
I was gonna say like $25 or $30.
It was 45.
Oh,
I don't throw a little extra in there.
Man, the Apple
they were literally selling a Zippo lighter that was $85 on that website.
$85 Zippo lighter.
It was $100.
Oh, it was $100.
Yeah, they like turned stuff like Supreme.
If I'm buying a boot like this randomly, you know, probably like $25-$30 would be the absolute max. But if I'm supporting some dudes chasing their dreams, why not throw an extra $15-$20 in there?
Hey, if it floats your boat, buy it.
Exactly.
I respect it.
So I have a question for you guys. I'm super itching, dude. I really want Nike to bring out golf clubs again. What's your opinion on Nike golf clubs? Did you ever use them?
I actually used to use some Nike golf clubs back in the day. But I thought they made really good irons and wedges. I love their wedges back in the day. But their woods were terrible. At least their retail woods.
Their woods just didn't have enough pop to them they were never gonna compete with TaylorMade, Callaway, Titleist. Like, it just didn't matter at that point. The big selling point was obviously they came out with the Covert Red. You know, the Vapor line. But like Jake said, I honestly thought the irons were actually unbelievable. And I thought the wedges were awesome. The VR Pro line, actually my brother still plays the VR Pro combo. And I thought they were great. I thought they would compete. Like when I tested them, I pretty much tested like the blades and the cavity backs, and I thought they were, I mean, I thought they competed with everyone. I thought they were phenomenal. And actually the original Method line of putters was also really good.
Yeah. I love the Method putters. The
dark black one that was, it was almost like in the sun. It was almost like a dark navy, it looked like. But I thought those putters were awesome. It's just the woods just never had enough pop, which I think is absolutely crazy because, I mean, they were able to sign Tiger, they were able to sign Rory. And then, you know, if you look at their staff, I mean, there were a lot of powerful players on there. And I'm obviously the tour stuff is different, but it can only be so different.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. I mean, you would hit the – well, Jay played the Covert.
I did for a short time. I played the Covert driver, and it went nowhere. I switched drivers. It took like 30 yards.
Yeah. I thought the drivers had, like – obviously, they had Tiger's input and feedback, but – their driver, like the way they shaped their drivers in fairway woods was, I mean, they were like, in my eyes, they were like perfect, like old school pear shape. You know, they had to do some marketing stuff when it came to the coloring and whatnot. But I mean, if they had any pop at all, they would have never had to leave the market.
Yeah. I had the VR, the Pro Combos when I like first started playing. It was like, I was maybe after like a year after I first started playing golf. And let me tell you, those things were like so pure. Like the weighting in them was so different than any iron that I've ever hit today. And I'm like itching, dude. If I see a pair of those on eBay, I know I'm going to have to pick them up.
Yeah. So, you know, like kind of when they left, was actually right after the Vapor line.
And I really thought those vapor irons were, I know people give them a lot of crap for them, but I thought the vapor irons were really good. But they just, I don't know, they never took off. And I really think they left the market because their woods were just not, they just weren't up to par.
Yeah, I mean, I think they also left the market because they could just sign so many guys to wear Nike apparel and not have to.
Yeah,
have
in the apparel, I think realistically, they could have stayed in the market. They had the money to do it. They just didn't feel like they were making enough. I mean, look at how many guys are wearing Nike apparel now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. Like, we had Nike in college, and I thought their stuff was phenomenal.
Yeah, we have Nike.
It took us 3 years to talk our golf coach into getting us Nike stuff, but he finally got it for us, and it's I love it.
Yeah, we had Antigua.
It's expensive, but it's – I mean, I don't know. In the 3 years I was wearing all Nike, I mean, I thought – I think we only had, like, two shirts that I didn't enjoy. Like, I just thought their stuff was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I guess, like, the colors and stuff that they came out, like, with their irons and drivers was kind of, like, ahead of its time as far as, like, the whole, like, marketing trend went. And I think a lot of people were like, you know, oh, they're coming out with these, like, this blue and green colors trying to, like, make them different and everything. But, like, after they left the market, like TaylorMade, Callaway, all those companies really like stepped into like making those big bright colors instead of just the usual black and silver.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like those guys used them more as like accent colors. And obviously now that carbon fiber is like the main thing that everyone wants to use, obviously it's lighter. But if you notice, like most of the drivers on the market show the carbon fiber. You know, they don't want to paint over top of it. It's, you know, Cobra's been the one that has gotten away with it the longest, and they're going to continue to get away with it. But even they've like stepped back a little bit with the colors. You know, like the F8 was only offered in black and gray. F9 is like black with either white accents or black with yellow accents. Same thing with the Speed Zone. It's pretty much the same looking as the F9, but even they've stepped back. You know, they were, when they had the old bio cell with Ricky, I mean, obviously orange was the biggest thing on the market for them. And then they had, blue, obviously white seemed to be like the big thing for a few years. But yeah, it's just, you know, some stuff just doesn't catch the market's attention. And that's, you know, that's when people have to get out.
It wasn't when they left the market. That was right around when Tiger was injured and was out a couple of years, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you remember, they actually ended up coming out with his driver with the vapor line, like right when he came back, because he only played bonded heads. TaylorMade was the first one to talk him into using adjustability. He was always playing bonded heads. So like, if you ever look back at pictures, even when they started using the adjustability, they made him specific driver heads that were bonded. And kind of people started to catch on during the vapor. And then they came out with the vapor TW, and they added like $100 to it. And I mean, it flew off the shelf, which isn't shocking. It has a TW symbol. So, I mean, there's another thing. Look at his apparel for Nike. I mean, his apparel absolutely blows it out of the water.
Yeah. And then just adding the TW logo, like his signature logo, obviously just bumps it up like $10 whether it's just a hat, just a normal Nike hat that just has a logo on it, instead of 25, it's 35.
Right.
And same thing with his, I mean, if you look at his polos, I mean, they're extremely nice, but Nike has, like, the Nike polos, and they obviously have the TW polos, and a lot of them are similar apart from the logo, and obviously the TW logo gets an extra 10, 15 bucks. It's just how the market works.
Man, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly how the market works, and that's why their apparel just – I mean, their apparel's – obviously, it's great quality, but it's just people buy it left and right.
Did you guys ever play, like, the Nike golf balls when they were – or anything like that?
I never played a Nike golf ball.
I used to love playing the RVN Reds.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. In high school, I was all about that shit.
In high school, this is not going to shock anyone, I'm sure. But in high school, so, like, we have this place called Carl's Golfland up here. And they would always have demo days on Saturday. And I got to know a couple of the reps pretty well when I was in high school. So I would get golf balls from, like, every company. And literally, I would have my stash of golf balls that I play in tournaments. I think in high school, I played Titleist before I switched to TaylorMade my final year. And put in 9-hole matches, I just pretty much tried whatever golf balls I had just because I knew the golf courses. And I was like, I mean, it kind of doesn't mean anything. But
yeah,
looking back, kind of maybe shouldn't have done it, but it didn't really, I don't think it affected me a whole lot, so.
Yeah, my first couple years in golf, I used the Nike juice balls.
Juice. Yeah.
The juice.
They were like best, purple.
Best scramble golf ball ever.
I remember those.
The last ball they had out, I don't remember, it was like black and blue. But, yeah, I played a couple Nike balls in high school. I mean, they felt like rocks, but whatever.
Yeah.
We were actually, I think when we re-signed our Nike deal at college, they were supposed to send us golf balls, and then they had gotten out of the market. I don't know if you remember that, Jake.
Yeah, I remember our coach telling us that we were
like,
going to have to
throw Nike balls. Yeah, they were talking about, like, oh, you're going to have to use this golf ball. And I was like, no, I'm not.
No.
You want me to play good? It's not going to be with that golf ball. I'm sorry.
I was willing to give it a chance, but, I mean, not too much of a chance. But
give it the old college try. That's about it.
Well, I have a question for you guys. So, what do you think is the most underrated golf company that should be, you know, should have some more respect in the, you know, in the industry?
I would honestly say Cleveland Trixon.
That's what I'm saying, baby.
I'm sorry.
What I like to hear.
But they are just getting credit now. Their irons are phenomenal. The Cleveland wedges are fantastic.
Carter, what I tell you?
I will agree with the Strixon, but I will not agree with the Cleveland.
Cleveland wedges?
The new high bounce are like, what is that, like the HB driver? Looks like
the driver. The driver doesn't matter. It's not
okay, but they're the same company. The Strixon line deserves more love than it has. The Cleveland is for, I mean, they're going lighter. They're looking for lighter and distance. They're not. Their marketing is to the older guys that still want to hit it far. I mean, their drivers are almost 46 inches, but the Strixon line is. So I say Cleveland because I think the wedges are still super underrated, and I think they're fantastic.
The Strixon golf balls, I think, are just as good as Titleist.
Yeah, I mean, you could find a golf ball with any company. They have enough different golf balls that you could find one that would be comparable throughout every single company, I think.
Vice is a premier golf ball.
I love playing Vice golf balls. I agree. I've played a Vice, and I think it feels good.
Jake, what would you say to that? What company would you say?
You know, I'm trying to think. Honestly, I mean, it's kind of becoming more popular, but Sick Golf, their putters that Bryson is using now, those putters are nice. They feel incredible. Really good, and they roll really good. And, you know, with Bryson using it, and now he's, I believe, you know, on contract with them or whatever, I think they're going to grow a lot. But, I mean, if you guys get the chance, I'll try those out. Those are nice.
Well, Lonto Griffin has it now, too, because that's the putter he ended up winning with. He literally took it from his buddy while they were playing, like, a weekend game. And ended up winning with it, and it's still in his bag. So, yeah, sick is great. I mean, I'll probably sound a little biased. I think New Level will take off here shortly. It looks like he does it all himself, and he takes his time, which is really cool. Like, I got everything and double-checks my specs, and everything was literally perfect. It's just hard because – you know, a lot of people aren't when a new company comes into the market, it's like, it's hard to trust unless you give it a try.
It's kind of like that one company, what's it called, Carter or Spencer, that really expensive company that sells.
Oh, Hanma?
Yeah, Hanma.
Right.
Hanma became popular because of Justin Rose. He just
left
them. So what is that?
So garbage. That's what I told you guys. Hanum is fucking garbage.
It's not garbage. It's just not made for everyone. And
nobody's got the money to buy it either. Well, people do, but yeah, the common person doesn't.
The reason that he left was he was boys with Mark King, who ended up becoming the CEO of Honda. And it sounded like TaylorMade was, they were in like contract negotiations and he didn't like it. So Mark King ended up paying him whatever the hell he paid him. And that's why he went to it. It's like Bubba going to Volvic. He had a year contract for $1 million and like 7 months in was like, hell no, I'm not playing this ball anymore. Switched back to the Pro V1X and won 3 times. So anything is, you know, guys were willing to test a lot for the money. And
it's $1 million. I'd probably do it. I'd probably play a Snell for $1 million.
You know, they have the freedom to try it. And then basically, like, if I don't like it, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that guys at that level, I mean, I don't think they should really tinker too much. I mean, you look at Justin Rose, he had just reached number one in the world, and then he switches golf companies and, you know, doesn't do too hot. And then you have Bubba, who wins 2 Masters, and he's doing great. Then he switches to Volvic, and he
literally fell off it all over the place.
It's kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And sometimes,
yeah, there's true. Like, I mean, if there's a company that you've played your whole life, like that's the reason you got there, don't change.
Yeah.
But it's also hard when someone rolls a Brinks truck up to your house and's like, hey, look in the back of this. Like, all right,
I'll jump right on that.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Look at Rory.
Yeah.
So I know, like, Julian's dad is like a huge
PXG.
Like, PXG guy. So, like, you know, PXG is like the first company to come out and was like, you know, we're gonna bring out these irons, and you know, we're this new company, and we're gonna shoot for super expensive, super like elite irons and stuff like that. Like,
look at him. He's holding it right now.
Is the iron good enough? These are the old
ones. These are the old ones. These aren't the new ones he just got.
Does he have the Gen 2s or no?
These are the Gen 2. I think he just got the Gen 3s.
Sorry, the Gen 3s are the new ones, yes.
Yeah, he just. Yeah, I'll get them.
Yeah, he just got them.
Way too expensive for that kind of stuff. I mean, normal golf clubs are way too expensive already.
Yeah, I mean, golf as a whole is too expensive. I mean, Jake and I have talked about this so many times, but here's the thing with PXG is he knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, they look pretty sick, I can't lie.
That is nuttable.
I don't know. Yeah. If you take a look at a TaylorMade P760s or something, is it really there? Like, I don't know. It's, I mean, AP3s? The look isn't really there for the price.
The AP3s are pretty.
Dude, it's just he knew what he was doing to the market, and if you go back and look what the market was like before he got into the game, I mean, it was not nearly as expensive as it is now. But, you know, now if you notice, a lot of companies have came out with clubs to compete with PXG. Whether they're just expensive or they're supposed to have this new technology in them. It's just, like, I could never go and drop. I mean, depending on what shafts you get, like, it could be a $5,000 set of irons. Wrap my head around that.
He got them because they went on sale, which is why he bought them. And I think so. He got the first set. He bought AP2s, and then one of the buddies in his golf league got the Gen 2s on eBay for like $300. Because when people get them and they have no clue what the hell they are, sometimes on eBay, they'll just sell them for like dirt cheap. So his buddy got them, and then he just straight up traded the AP2s for the Gen 2s and paid like an extra $200 or whatever. And then it was probably a month ago, he was like, we were talking, and he's like, yeah, I'm really looking at these, but they're $3,500. But they said, because he's been in contact with them, and they've been like, well, in the next couple of weeks, they're going to go on sale. So he got pitching wedge through 4-iron, and they're $1,700.
I mean, that's pretty good. The thing that's crazy about them, they don't seem to hold value very well, which you would think for a golf club that is that expensive. But
yeah,
we've had a couple sets turned in at Golf Galaxy, and I'm doing like trade-in values on them, and I'm like triple checking them to make sure this is right, because I just like can't.
Yeah.
You pay $3,000 for a set of clubs, and then next year you go to turn them in, and the best we can give you is like $600. It's like, what?
Wow.
You might as well go on eBay or go online and sell them somewhere.
Like GameStop, right
there. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the golf industry of GameStop, literally.
Well, because I know, like, last year when we went up to Rocket Mortgage, Spencer, Carter, and I, we went to Carl's Golfland and just looked around. And I saw, like, PXG clubs there, and they were still expensive. I just can't believe that trade-in value would be that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last summer a guy coming in after a full fitting at Club Champion, and he was like, I hate these, I can't hit them. And I was like, do you want me to try to refit you and at least try to get like lie angle right, like length and all that stuff? And he was like, no, I just hate them. And I was like, so you're just going to trade these in for basically nothing? Sounds good.
Wow. I mean, some people have that kind of dispensable income where they're like,
they're definitely, I mean, it's like anything expensive, it's a status thing. Like I said, he knew what he was doing going into the market, and he did exactly what he wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the CEO, I mean, after like all this came out, I mean, how do we all find out about PXG in the first place? I mean, Twitter, golf commercials, I mean, all these pro players saying that this and that. You know, as far as him going, he had a couple boys saying, you know, hyping it up in a little extra amount, like, oh my God, these irons are the best thing in the world.
And yeah,
that's what you got to do for the price of it to be able to make that even happen.
But if you look at, the guys that have switched to PXG, the numbers don't back it up.
Right.
Like,
a lot of guys are leaving, have left PXG now.
I mean, who did I?
Pat Perez is the only. I don't know who else has won with them.
James Hahn won twice with them.
I've played them a little bit. They're so heavy compared to, like, I have Ping iBlades, and my pings are nowhere near that heavy. And the Gen 3s are a little bit slimmer, and the back arms cut a little bit than the Gen 2s, but they're still like, they just feel like a million pounds heavier than like my pings. And I tried to hit them, and like they feel good.
Yeah, they feel fine. I mean, do I think they're $3,000?
No.
Like, they're glorified pings with a weighting system in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, Chez Reavy signed with them officially in January, and they had something go wrong, which is why Billy Horschel left them. But Chez Reavy, I was reading, signed with them officially like the 1st of January and left them by the end of March because of whatever was happening inside of the, it's like, if the clubs were that good, he would have, whatever was going on, doesn't matter if someone got fired, whatever.
Yeah.
If the clubs were that good, surely you're going to stay there through your contract.
Yeah, for sure.
If you switch clubs and you start playing really bad or, you know, just not quite as good, and then someone treats you slightly wrong, I feel like you would just get out of there. And who knows? I was really surprised when Billy Horschel left BXG, but.
Yeah. He was like one of their main guys, and all of a sudden it was like he came out to one of the turn. It might have been the players. And he had, like, he was wearing, like, a Florida hat. And he had no PXG branding. I was like, whoa, that's interesting. So, but obviously you never know what's going on behind the scenes. And like I said, if the clubs were good enough, I think those guys would have stayed and or kept playing them. But if you don't see, you know, they get stuff probably 6 months before we even
see it
on the market. So it's like, if you've had that much time to test them and you really thought they were that good, like, surely you'd keep playing them.
Yeah.
I remember in August when we talked to you, Connor, you said you had a shoe collection. Did you get any more purchases on those other than golf clubs since then?
I have been quite good about my shoe collection.
Not so much about
the I have been looking at some Vans because I want a few more pairs, but I'm just trying not to spend money right now.
What is your favorite pair of shoes that you have?
Favorite pair. So I like to collect like more like a running shoe style, just because I think they're super comfortable. But I have a pair of Jordan 1s that I really like, and I'll pull up this other pair. But they're called, if you remember when Nike re-released Air Pennies.
Yeah.
so.
I know nothing about shoes like this.
I was a big shoe guy in my early years, like, you know, like middle school, like early high school, like I'd have my shoe collection. I was getting on Nike, customizing shoes and, you know, collecting this, collecting that. And, you know, I thought it was a big deal, but like as soon as I hit like junior year, oh, those are crisp.
Yeah, those.
So you're the bright stuff.
I would say that those are probably my favorite, and that's because I think that was my first time I actually spent or bought a pair of shoes for full price. And it's like, I think I got 75 or 76 pairs, and the...
Jesus Christ.
I think that...
I had a lot of shoes.
I think I've only spent
over 100 like four times.
Oh my gosh. I wish I could say that.
I've spent like hundreds
every, it's
of dollars.
Like every time I walk in the Nike outlet, it's just like, oh, I happen to see one pair I like and they're like $50. So it's like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, the Nike outlet's awesome.
See, Julian's all about the Jordan stuff.
Eight pairs of shoes you like, and then you're like, oh, which couple do I get?
So. Yeah, which couple? So, I have a Jordan shoe box. So, for my 17th, or I don't know, it was like Christmas one year, my mom did the 12 days of Shoemis.
Mommy bought him shoes.
So I have, so it's like a big, huge box that has everything. So I don't even know. It's going to be hard to see. But like, I have, here, I'll just pull a couple out.
Oh, dude, those what, the 11s, man? Those are crispy, dude.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll just pull out three.
What the 11s, man? Oh, when I was a kid, I remember when like the KD6s were out. It was like, what the KD6s? Oh, dude, I was all over those. I was begging my parents left and right for those.
I have the what the KD7s, but like these are like the Gamma Blue 12s. Like, have you ever heard of Sneaker Con?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, so what do you mean, have you heard of Sneaker Con?
Just a question. So, like, I went to Sneaker Con.
That's like asking if I've heard of Carl's golf plan.
So, like,
those are so crispy, dude.
Those are.
I wanted those so bad, dude. Those are so nice.
It's just all the combinations and stuff of all of them. And then my favorite pair are the Carmine 6s. I've never worn them. I think I've tried them on once. And
those are dead stock. Those haven't been worn at all.
Yeah, they're dead stock. The Gamma Blue 12s are also dead stock. I've worn them. Maybe I don't even know if I can say once, but the 11s, I've actually worn them.
Yeah, those are unreal. I pretty much wore like a different pair of shoes every day for the first like 2.5 months of school.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
Like, I would show up to the golf course, and my coach would just be like, what? Like, where did you find those? I'm like, I don't know.
Just got them.
Online.
Let's see. Yeah, I have Ant Pearl. I have the KD Ant Pearls, but they're worn.
Are those the sixes?
These are the sevens. They have the wing on them.
Yeah. I remember. I had those.
Let's see what else.
Dude,
I have
you can't beat the KD6s, dude. The entire KD6 line is just a complete, like, the whole thing is just so, yes.
Well, I have the KD4s.
You go back and look at the KD4s.
I don't think I have fours. I have KD5s, but I don't think I have KD. Oh, I have the KD6 Easter and then the KD5 Easter.
Oh.
But these were my favorite because they have, like, bunnies on them and stuff. And I got, like, the matching T-shirt and stuff.
Oh, my.
Dude, without this coronavirus, if I had a job, dude, I would just go back and, like, like, I literally just go on a shopping spree with KD6s, dude. I absolutely just love those so much.
You yeah. can buy mine.
Yeah, right.
You can.
I already tried to buy a pair of shoes off you. You have those pink Nikes back there. I can see them right now with the white on the back. I wanted to buy those.
Oh,
I tried to buy these off of him. He kept telling me no. Dude, those are saucy. I don't know why, but those are. I like those a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
Julian, price.
Got it. A price? Oh, I don't know.
Julian's the stingiest motherfucker ever. He wouldn't sell you shoes. If, he wouldn't give you those shoes if you were shaking a can on the side of the street begging for change.
Dude, I'm not
he charged
stingy.
Me like $2.50 for a Miller Lite, a piece for six of them.
Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, I man.
Just went past on the way home from the golf course today that I played. I just saw like a 8-pack for $5.99, and I was like, oh, I probably should stop, but I didn't.
30-rack of Bush Light is the only way to go.
That is absolutely disgusting.
Beer is just not the answer, period.
Oh, I mean, I'll definitely – like, I have some Great Lakes and some Miller Lite in the fridge, but Bush Light is a step down.
So Connor and Carter would be really good drinking buddies.
Beer is disgusting.
Like, I can drink a couple beers. I just don't enjoy drinking them. So I figure I might as well drink something I enjoy.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Go-to,
then. There's just something, dude. There's just something about beer, yeah. Man. I love it. I love it.
To each their own. Jake and I are pretty similar. Like, we can drink a few beers, but it's just, like, not – like, for me, it's just not enjoyable.
I get down here. Teeth? My
twisted team.
Bruh.
I'll what? Drink it. I just don't love it, like Spencer.
Yeah, like Spencer.
Like, if I'm going to drink – if I'm going to have, like, a couple drinks, I feel like I might as well enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've pretty much. I don't really have like a go-to, to be honest with you. It always, I kind of have like a flavor of the week. It depends on what I'm in the mood for. I don't know.
Flavor of the week.
You try.
I don't really. I don't really discriminate with anything. I just depends on what sounds good at the store, and I'll basically pick it off of that. You got foam posits? All right, cool.
I have two pair. I have the asteroid ones, and then I have the pearlized pink.
Julian's going to win out his shoe collection. I'm going to start pulling some shit out.
I remember when, like, foam posits were, like, you know, like, they were,
the
like...
shit.
They're nice.
No, they were, like, the big deal, but honestly,
are
like...
Penny? What?
Oh, no. Those are, oh, wait.
I forget what they're called.
Where did you find those?
I bought them off my buddy, who was a big sneakerhead. He sold them to me for like $100.
Dude, foam posits? Because, like, I remember I got these for Christmas one year. They're like $275. Like, foam posits are...
I had a chance to get a pair of them, and I just was like, am I really going to spend $250 on a pair of shoes?
They are literally 25 pounds. They're the heaviest shoes I've ever worn.
I know they're bricks.
Yeah. But
camo Vans, gotta love Vans.
Yeah, you gotta respect it. You gotta respect
I wanna get Vans. Some like tropical beach Vans, man. Those are
yes.
crazy. Tropical
beach. Julian's big into like Jordans. I'm like big into like running shoes. I love like NMDs and
yeah, that's
those.
NMDs.
I've got them for days.
Dude, I think the crispiest shoes that I've been most proud of is like a LeBron 8 South Beach.
I have a LeBron 11 South Beach.
If you guys have ever heard of those, like they were like light blue and it had a tiger on the tongue and
oh yeah,
it had
South Beach
around
nice.
It. Dude, those were so crisp.
Dude, South Beach is like a lot of guys that do like custom shoes, like custom paint jobs. I mean, the South Beach colorway is still so popular when it comes to that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But. So did you guys watch the NFL draft last Thursday and the weekend?
Yes.
I did. Yes.
What's our thoughts on that whole shenanigans?
Well, you guys are both Lions fans, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that's what I thought.
All right.
I mean, it pretty much, for the first time in my life, I was extremely happy with the Lions' entire draft. I think the most shocking draft that I, like, paid attention to was the Packers.
Yeah.
That one made no sense to me when they traded up to get Jordan Love and then
didn't draft a single weapon for Aaron Rodgers at all.
Didn't draft a weapon for him. So all I could think of, I mean, Jake and I talked about this. This was like we talked about it for like a day and a half. I mean, the fact that you didn't go get him a weapon and you traded up to get a quarterback.
Well, I
mean, surely this man is so pissed off right now. It's unbelievable.
I saw they tried to trade up in the second for a wide receiver, but they didn't get it done.
They didn't draft it. Did they draft a wide receiver in, like, the sixth round?
No, they didn't. They were one of nine teams that did not draft a wideout the whole entire draft.
Lost two of them. I can't figure that out, but whatever.
I mean, how do you draft a quarterback in the first round when you have Aaron Rodgers, who's healthy for however many seasons?
You just signed to an extension.
Yeah, he has 2 years left. He has like $60 million on his deal left, and they just signed someone
else. Everyone kept saying, like, oh, this is what they did when they drafted him and Brett Favre was there. Brett Favre was about to retire. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love, I mean, they can't – why would you trade up and draft him just to sit him for 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Like, draft the weapon you can use now.
He's going to be there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, surely he was – Jordan Love was – there was no way anyone was taking him ahead of them.
Yeah.
What pick did Jordan Love go?
26.
Okay. 26. I was curious.
I thought New England was going to draft him at 23.
Yeah, did I.
But because they traded away, I was like, okay, well, I don't know when he's going. And then I saw him go to Green Bay, and I was like, oh. Well, because, like, if Aaron Rodgers still has 2 years left on his deal, like, why would you just not draft a weapon or just wait an extra year to draft a new quarterback?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
I mean, I don't know. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to be – I mean, surely he's going to be the number one pick next year.
Yeah, him or Justin Fields.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just feel – like, I thought the quarterback class this year was good.
I mean, Jake Fromm didn't even get drafted until the fifth round.
I know, and by the Bills.
I thought the quarterback range was kind of low.
I don't think Ethan's very good personally.
No, he had a lot of hype coming out of high school. I think he kind of let the hype.
Fromm played really good his freshman year, and then
he lost in the conference championship.
And then it just.
I thought the Lions were going to draft Fromm in the. I remember talking to my brother and I was like, I would be shocked if they, and then they picked, I don't know, a guard out of Kentucky, which he's supposed to be good. I just was like,
well, the Lions also just signed a backup quarterback to like a 3-year, $13 million deal.
It's better than for 2 years, 22 mil, 16 guaranteed.
And then, yeah, but he'll play.
But then signed Jameis Winston, too, who's a great quarterback.
Yeah, as you see, dude, the Tampa Bay Bucks.
I honestly did not.
Are you a Buccaneers fan?
Yeah. I'm so excited.
I can't tell.
Hey, Carter.
I can't understand that draft pick or the signing by the Saints for Jameis, though. Like, I never expected that team to pick him up.
I mean, I could see it if it was a 2-year deal because Drew – has a contract for
2 years.
For like after he retires for CBS or whatever it is.
Left.
But like for Jameis it makes sense because he's gonna live one of the greatest quarterbacks ever and Sean Payton. So if he can sign again after this. I mean, I think it'd be worthwhile for him to take over once Jude retires.
Yeah. Carter, do you have your Tampa Bay Buccaneers mask? Did that come in yet?
No, it says it's 24 to 48 hour delay.
Carter,
what kind of mask are we talking? Like Rey Mysterio type mask?
No, like a face mask for the coronavirus.
Oh,
well, because I work at a fast food place, and now we're required to wear masks. So,
where do you work at?
Checkers.
Checkers.
Wow, a lot of good background. Oh, Spencer, you're a Chargers fan?
Yes, sir.
He just changed.
How about your pickup? I became the seventh round.
I'll take my pain. I became a Chargers fan this year, so I'm a newly Chargers fan.
That's fair.
He gave up on the Browns.
I'm a big LA fan. I like LA teams.
Hey, I'm giving the Lions, you know, a couple more years, and I may have to abandon ship and bandwagon somewhere else.
Hey,
yeah,
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
You already know Justin Herbert's about to be
so
good.
I'm tired of watching losing teams.
The Bengals, baby. The Bengals are going to have a good year with Joe Burrow.
Talk about losing teams.
Out of here, bro. No,
who's he going to throw to?
I'll go out there and catch balls from him.
My
hands are
it.
Sticky. You know
they have a Patriot contract.
Who they draft? They drafted a wide receiver.
They drafted two wide
receivers. Yeah.
Exactly. And if AJ Green's healthy...
Over. Yeah, right.
I'm hoping AJ Green is really good because I have a signed rookie card in my basement. So he needs to become a legend. That way I can sell that
rookie
puppy.
Card.
Well, he would need to stay healthy in order to do that. So maybe he should work on one thing at a time.
Yeah. I got a serious. He comes over here, man. I'm freaking
I got a Calvin Johnson signed Lions hat. And then I got a...
That was cool. That was cool until he said, yep, see ya.
I'm done.
I got a Matt Stafford one, too. The one problem is Jim Schwartz is on the underside of the bill of the hat.
Oh, that's tough.
I mean, Jim Schwartz won a Super Bowl before Matt Stafford, so...
Yes, he did. That's,
you're not yes, wrong. I cannot argue with facts.
Hey, Spencer. Do you remember Diesel Brothers, that show that we were watching that one time?
Yeah.
Tell me... that Connor does not look like this guy right here.
He really does, actually. I know exactly who you're talking about.
And I'm pulling up right now. Look at
this. I know
tell
exactly
me,
who
tell
you're
me
talking
does not
about.
Look like this guy.
Guys, there's his twin.
That is your doppelganger. There's no doubt about it. Yep. I was just thinking about it. He is a good-looking man.
Connor also looks like that dude from Dude Perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
He really does look like Tyler from Dude Perfect a little bit.
Yeah. Jake was the first one to say that. I'll give him credit for it. A couple
it was,
years ago.
You must cite me if you ever say that in the future.
Dude, I need my barbershop to open up so bad. My beard is so obnoxious.
Dude, I'm just letting it flow, dude. I'm just growing a mane.
That's what I'm doing too, but it's literally so annoying at this point.
I know. It's like... it's just bad. When I can start twisting it, and I can, it's just too long.
I honestly wish I could grow like the
handlebar,
like the old Raleigh fingers. It could be sweet for about one day, and then I would shave it.
Yeah, that'd be something.
But yeah, it would be something. That's for sure.
Who do you guys think had the best draft class and who had the worst?
Chargers.
Green Bay had the worst. It's not even close.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay, it makes no sense to me what Green Bay was doing. I mean, their whole team should be built around Aaron Rodgers, and they just completely – like botched that with what they did. I don't know who had the best one.
I think the Patriots had another worst draft too. They traded bad.
Yeah, I didn't think they did very well either. But they had a lot of good free agent training. I don't know if you guys saw that stuff.
Yeah. I saw that David the one guy like $150,000 guaranteed as a free agent.
Who
David the Browns.
Dude, I think the Broncos had an unbelievable class.
Oh.
First draft. They picked up so many weapons for Drew Lock, including that tight end. He's like 6'5", 250, and runs like a 4.45.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have Melvin Gordon.
And they played together as well, him and Drew Lock.
Yeah, Missouri, right? Missouri.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, they got Judy. Who did they drafted Judy.
They drafted another one, too.
Yeah, I thought they did really well. And then, obviously, they got was it Melvin Gordon in the offseason, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think they're a team to look out for this year.
Yeah. I might be biased, but I think the Bucs had a great offseason and draft class. I mean, Tom Brady, Gronk, we re-signed our entire defensive line. And then we get Tristan, who's a huge guy and ran a 4.85 at the combine.
They did have a good draft. Who?
And then we got Antoine Winfield in the second. That Vaughn guy out of Vanderbilt, I didn't really like that pick as a running back. But then Tyler Johnson in the fourth or fifth, wide receiver out of Minnesota. Pro Football Focus had him as the highest rated wide receiver in the class. So I'm hyped for the season if it happens.
Yeah, I mean, they should. Here's the thing: they should be good with that talent, especially with their receiving core is literally ridiculous now.
I know we got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, the Tyler Johnson guy. We got Scott Miller out of BGSU. We got
and you got Gronk.
We got Gronk, OJ Howard, and Cameron Bray. And then we got Ronald Jones and that Vaughn guy at the running back position.
We will never hear the end of the Bucs. You guys don't understand. We have been hearing Carter talk so much about Tom Brady and all of this. Like, my phone just blows up. I remember when they traded Gronk, my phone was just like, one of our friends is like, no, like, this can't be true. And Carter, I swear, might have cried. I was at work
when it happened, dude, and I saw that come across. I can't wait for the season. I just hope it happens.
Like, I've never met a Bucks fan, and I've also never met someone who is so obsessed with one team. That, like, Carter probably knows every single player from the past 5 years that played on the Bucks. Probably know the exact record and probably some of the exact games. Exactly. Like on Sundays.
You know what state the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should move to?
Where?
Arkansas. Got him. Hey, Carter, I told you I had a joke for you earlier. I wasn't
expecting that.
That was something.
That was rough.
Yeah, that was rough.
I mean, and I'm not going to throw any shade, but the last time we won, we used to be in the NFC Central with the Lions, and we won a division title more recently in that division than the Lions have. So we won in like
– I mean, you act like – but the issue is you act like we don't know this.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder.
It's not news that we suck. I get it. I just like to rep the hometown and – unfortunately, right now, there's about zero good teams there. So it's really cool.
Were you guys fan – like, was – when they went 0-16, were you guys, like, big Lions fans like that, like, in that year? I don't even remember when that would have been.
That was –
yeah, that was –
year.
2008. That was
08.
Yeah, that's why they got Stafford.
Whoa, Jake, what are you doing? What is this?
What is that?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a Lions fan. I love Detroit sports. It's just right now we used to be at the top of the top, and now we are just every single team is just at the bottom. So
Mad the only good news Calvin is Johnson.
It can't get worse than it is. That's the only positive we got going right now.
Yeah, I respect that. You only can go up.
Also, it does help that I'm an Ohio State fan, so football sort of evens out.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, you got Jeff Okuda, too.
Yes, I was happy. We got three Buckeyes in this draft.
Yeah, I wish the Bucs would have drafted J.K. Dobbins.
I couldn't believe that he dropped 55.
That's a fact.
And then, of course, and then Baltimore. The Ravens. I'm like, oh, awesome.
He's going to learn under Mark Ingram for a year or two. Ingram's going
to
leave.
Dude, I wanted the Lions to take Donovan Peoples-Jones, and we just kept passing on everyone. And I was like, oh, all right, cool.
I wanted him, too, for the Bucs, and then I
– Brown snagged
him. And then Cleveland. Cleveland scoops him up. I'm like, all right.
I saw
– Yeah, he was a steal in the sixth round.
I was looking at this thing from Michigan, and it was like saying all the teams and how many – Michigan draft picks they've had, and the Lions were first, and then the Browns had the second most Michigan University of Michigan draft picks, and then the Patriots were second or third. I mean, and how many?
They drafted another one this year, and they signed a free agent, I think.
Yeah. And the Saints signed the center Caesar or something.
He was Caesar like, Ruiz.
Yeah.
He was a good pickup for them. There's another guy that I wouldn't have minded having, but I'm not in the front office, and I will never be in the front office, so I will just continue to be a fan.
Well, I saw on Twitter, there was like a video from like, what was it? What's a Texans guy? Bill O'Brien. And like, he was like throwing his hands around all pissed off. And they said the Lions like agreed to a trade with him for some draft pick, and then like they ended up backing out of it at the last second, and he was all pissed off at the Lions.
Dude, that happened. So that happened, it was the third day. It was the start of the third round. My brother and I had it on, and so I think the Texans, I think that was in the second round. I don't know. I don't remember, but so it was the start of the fourth round, and it said that the Lions had traded up to 108 because they had 109. And so it said that we had traded with Washington, and then it had them at 108 and 109. And I was like, are we going to get back-to-back picks? This would be unreal. Then it ends up changing to the Lions traded 109 to Las Vegas for 121, and then like, 176 too, and I was like, how did they mess that up that bad?
Well, that's what I was wondering too, when the Bucs traded up to 13 in the first round. Now you didn't register right away, so like I said, they had 13 and 14. So I was like, are we about to draft like a wide receiver and Tristan Wirfs off in the lineman? But then it was just like delayed, so then San Francisco moved to 14.
Yeah, I definitely think they had their fair share of difficulties. I also think Roger Goodell is just, like, super awkward as a human being.
Yeah. I saw him last day. He was, like, chilling on the chair in, like, a T-shirt.
I have a question. So, like, that background that Roger Goodell had, was that his actual house was that his actual room or was that a green screen?
That was his basement.
Like,
okay, that's what I thought, but then I saw something on Twitter that said it was a green screen, and I was like, dude, that stuff looks way too real.
He posted on Twitter, like, the day before the draft and, like, did, like, this whole, like, tour of how he was going to do the draft. And, like, he says that's where he watches football and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah, is there anything else we gotta talk about? This is definitely our longest podcast.
Yeah.
Definitely longer than expected. Holy shit. I mean, it's a good thing though. It's good that we can just
not like I have anything else to do, so
I know, right? I was just like listening to a podcast a couple of days ago, and it was like, you know, the craziest thing you can ask somebody is like, hey man, what are you up to? You know, what are you doing? And it's like nothing.
Everyone's doing the exact same thing. It's zero. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Literally, man. It's, I mean, nothing. There is nothing to do.
Especially for us, like up here, it was when nothing, when the golf courses were just flat out closed.
Oh, it was.
It was rough.
I snuck out one time with a buddy, and like had like creep onto the course, and this truck pulled up out of nowhere to the house. So we were like down the golf course waiting for him to leave. It was kind of sketch, but I got some dolphin.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that people were getting ticketed for, you know, getting caught playing on a golf course that was closed. You know, for violating the you know, executive order or whatever it is. So it's you got to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. But and then also like motorized boating on the water was closed.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess, like, what is your guys' goals as far as, like, you know, like, post-coronavirus, this stuff goes away? I guess, like, what are you looking at as far as, you know, what's coming up and, you know, the tournaments you're going to be playing and what are you excited about and, you know, what's going on as far as that?
Well, I'll say one thing. I'm never going to take being able to play in a golf tournament for granted ever again. Because I miss it. I miss playing and in competition, and you know it's really what I live for now. And you know, the original plan was to be playing in mini tour events and be playing in potentially in Latino America events and up in Canada in a month. And you know, like I said earlier, it's all on hold right now, and so I'm excited to get an opportunity on really any stage at this point. But yeah, there's goals wise. I mean, just take advantage when the opportunity comes.
Yeah. I mean, I played the last 4 days and I didn't touch a club. I just looked at the calendar yesterday and I didn't touch a club for 28 days. I mean, apart from like, sending them to the post office and getting them out of here. I could not tell you the last time that I didn't touch a club for more than a week. And I mean, basically I haven't played since that pre-qualifier, which was right after Q school, in a tournament. So I'm pretty much whatever I can play in, I'm just going to go and play in whatever the next open thing is that I can play in and then get ready for the Michigan Open qualifier. And it's that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, that's as far as, you know, what Jake said is like not taking stuff for granted. I mean, like we're supposed to be staying in the hotels with the boys and, you know, having these fun memories, practicing, everything like that. And it's just like, it's crazy how quick that stuff was like taken from us. Yeah. I mean, I've been at home for, we've been at home for easily a month and, you know, I don't have like, I'm not a member of any golf courses. You know, usually when I'm at home in summer, I mean, when I was a senior in high school, of course we had a card that we can swipe at the golf course and we would just go out and play. And
right.
Now it's like you're looking at $750 just to play a mediocre course for the summer. And, I mean, it's not like a crazy amount, but it's still like, you know, wow. Like it really set in that like I'm missing out on spring golf. It's just like last weekend we would have been at Worcester. This week, one weekend, we would be at a different course. And, you know, now it's finals week, and it's like, wow. Like, you're starting to realize, like, how much stuff that you're actually missing out on. And I think there is, like, kind of a positive, I guess, because if you can play golf, I mean, you have all the time in the world to, you know, build yourself back up and get as best as you can before the, you know, the fall comes that we have to play again.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Yeah, I mean, when everything came out, I felt – when all the sports cancellations came out, I felt so bad for all the student-athletes, you know, especially the seniors. And, I mean, now that the NCAA is giving out another year of eligibility, which was the right thing to do, I wasn't really expecting them to do that.
Yeah, but, I mean, the NCAA
– even then, you know, some guys still aren't going to come back. You know, some – you know, some people might not be able to make it back, you know, whatever it may be. So it's, you know, it's just things that you would never expect. And like I said, like you said, we, you know, we took them for granted before all this stuff, you know, was flipped upside down.
I mean, you just got into a routine, you knew what you were doing for the day. And then it's like, time to pack your stuff up and go home. You got nothing to do for the foreseeable future.
Literally.
Well, I got a question. I don't know if you guys know or not, but like my dad told me the other day that Oakland University is already saying they're moving to like a hybrid schedule in the fall. So like partially online, partially like in class. I don't know if you guys know anything about that, but
I don't. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked by that. I think the new quote unquote normal is going to be so much different than it was before this. I think they're going to try to limit, you know, how many hours a week people are in classrooms. They're going to start sanitizing more. They're going to do everything they can so this doesn't, you know, it doesn't keep spreading. I mean, so I wouldn't be shocked by that, but I actually have not heard that.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that, but I saw like on the news the other day or something that University of Michigan is doing all online for the fall. And then just kind of echoing what I said earlier is like, that's like so far in advance for you to be, you know, making those huge judgment calls. And I mean, who knows? It could go on for, you know, this whole next academic year. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Nobody knows really, right?
So, yeah. I mean, that's like the scariest thing. It's like, you know, I mean, if you want to get like technical, they're saying like a vaccine is going to take a year and a half to 2 years. And I mean, if you really think about that, it's like the amount of stuff that can change, it's unreal. And it's like, you know, why has this got to happen? You know, it's going to be my junior year of college. It's like, I'm supposed to be hanging with friends, doing my thing, partying and like just having fun with golf and everything. And it's just like, wow. It's like that quick. It's just gone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. I mean, it just happened so fast. And next thing you know, we were all just sitting inside like we are right now and barely leaving.
Yeah. Talking about moving stuff so far in advance is like my sister's supposed to get married like January, and my mom was talking to her about moving it back already to like April. And you think like, is April even going to be enough?
Right. Yeah.
Who knows?
Fear like is the biggest.
April's a year from now.
Right.
But yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Now, here's the biggest question.
We're supposed to be married this summer. And, yeah, you know, I'm sure when they scheduled their weddings in June, they never thought they would have to push them back. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, well, like, my dad's friend, somebody that we know, like, they had to go to, like, a Zoom funeral the other day.
What?
What?
A funeral over Zoom, which is just crazy to me.
Yikes.
So, I was reading the, like, Michigan executive order that was put into place the other day, and you can have funerals, but you can't have more than 10 people there. at any given time, and they have to be 6 feet apart at all times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Otherwise, you can be fined or whatever. So it's
that's terrible.
It's horrible.
And like, you know, like the country's kind of like, as far as like everything goes, is kind of like opening back up again. And you know, they're saying that like New York is dropping cases and everything, and it's like the reason why New York is dropping cases is because people realized like, oh crap, this is actually like killing people. You know, like a fitness guy, you know, he runs triathlons for a living, and it killed him. And I think people are starting to realize like how serious this is. And, you know, they're beginning to stay inside, and, you know, hopefully we can beat this just by that. Like, people still need to realize that they need to stay inside and let this thing kind of, like, pass over if possible. But, you know, as far as golf goes, I'm hoping to get back on the course and start hitting range balls and getting back into the groove, and hopefully that'll, you know, all work out as far as that.
Yeah, I mean – yeah, like you said, I just hope all you guys and are staying as safe as possible, because you know that's all you can do right now, just ride out the storm.
So I mean, this is something that we talked about a little bit, but I mean, obviously it's a little hard with the COVID stuff. But would you guys be able to? I mean, eventually, whenever everything clears up, do a. Like a little golf match, and have, you know, Connor and Jake, you guys can be team captains and pick between the four of us and have a little little match to see what team's best.
Yeah, let's do it. It might have to be a pay-per-view event or something like that.
I mean, I'm pretty open to it. For the whole thing. What are the what kind of match would we play? Just like team match play, two out of three best ball.
So we got six guys. So if we did a 3v3, Jake and Connor are captains. They can recruit two people per team. We can play a little like I guess you could say like best ball match play. I'm all about match play, dude. I love match play. If golf was match play, I would be so much more excited to play it. Cause like match I'm all play. About like showing up and like getting the job done. Like I just want to beat the person I'm playing with. Like as long as I beat the guy I'm playing with, like I'm all good. Like I'm about winning the day. And you know, golf is kind of like that stroke play. And then you come into the clubhouse and they're like, "Oh, some guy shot 68," and you're like, "Oh, whoops."
Right.
But yeah, I knew we talked about it like slightly, but you know, since summer is kind of rolling around, if you guys, you know, when this stuff clears up, we can all drive up to Michigan and.
Yeah, we'll have to set that up when this all is over. For sure, that'd be fun.
Yeah, for sure. I'd for sure be down.
I'm gonna call Carter. Listen, we need Carter. Carter will shank. He'll shank a shot, but you can guarantee the next shot is getting dunked for par. He's a routine par guy.
He is Mr. Shank, and then the very next shot, he'll hold it out like every time.
I remember I was playing a qualifying match against him this fall, and he like hit his ball left. He hit it left again. And it was like – it was literally like 30 yards short of the pen. Like it wasn't even in the ballpark of the green. And then he chunks a chip, okay, and he's still short of the green. He hits this ball, and I mean he walks up to his ball, and he probably looked at it for maybe like 3 seconds. Like he literally was like just sending it. He walks up to his ball. He grabs a wedge out, and I'm like looking at him. I'm like, oh, God. And he slaps this chip. It takes like one hop and then plunk in the cup. He's like, "Oh my God, it's a par!" And I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" I was like, "This kid's ridiculous."
I think I was playing with Nick and Justin this fall in a qualifying round, and it was par 4 on 14 at Hidden Creek, and I hit like 163 in, hit a 9-iron, hold it out for eagle. Then the next hole was at par 3 downhill, and I tried to hold that out or, like, try to be, like, fancy with it and shanked it into the creek.
There was one time we were playing a scramble, and, you know, I think we were, I was playing with, like, Carter, Nick, and then maybe, like, Evan or Justin or something like that, or Coda or somebody.
This was freshman year.
Yeah. Well, no, this was last year. Oh. We were playing just for fun. Well, everybody's like, who do you pick, Spencer? I was like, we were playing this game called Wolf, if you guys have ever played that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a super awesome. Fun game. Well, they're like, pick a partner off the tee box. And Carter hit, like, I mean, I would say, like, mediocre, not anything too great, out to the right in the rough. And I was like, dude, I picked Carter. I was like, I know Carter, and I know Carter's about to slap this in. That's what I was saying to myself in my head. I was like, all right, Carter it is. And they were like, what? They're like, why are you picking Carter? So I walked down to my ball, and I striped it. It was right in the middle of the fairway. And I hit this ball, and it landed short of the green, about 15 yards short of the green. And Carter just slaps it. And, I mean, this ball probably landed like a foot away from the cup. And in my head, I never said anything to him. I just selected Carter as my pen. And in my head, I was like, yep, I knew that was going down. I was like, I knew that. I was like, I know him too well. I was like, I knew that was going to happen.
I knew him too well.
He slapped it in for birdie, and I was like, that's my boy. I was like, that's him.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus.
I just think that's so funny.
Yeah, you got to know your teammates, that's for sure.
So, is there, like, any tournaments that you guys played in as, like, you know, like, you guys would mark as, like, you know, you played good or played, like, bad in, or? I guess as far as, like, your post-college tournaments.
I played pretty good my summer right out of college. Professionally, I've played good in, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 of them, but everything else has been pretty mediocre, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's been about 2 years since I've graduated now. You know, some good, some bad, and some ugly. You know, this year getting status on those 2 tours was a big, you know, big milestone. Because last year I tried Q school and didn't do well. And so to finally get status somewhere was great. And yeah, I mean, I've won a couple, you know, mini tour pro events. And I, you know, right out of college, I won the Michigan Open. And I qualified for the USAM out of Pebble. And, you know, Those were two pretty awesome experiences. And then, you know, I don't know. There's been a lot since then, and, you know, some good, some bad. So
right after college, Jake and I did pretty well.
Yeah.
Right after that summer was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just like golf does, it's it becomes a struggle at points, and got to figure out how to get through them and get back to where, you know, how you found and where you found success. So sometimes you just got to take a couple steps back and go back to the basics and make sure everything is there, so you can, you know, try to trend in the right direction again.
Yeah. I mean, golf to me is just such a unique sport as far as, like, you know, it's easy to, like, fit in because you're just looking as, like, a stroke-to-stroke basis, but it's so hard to, like, stand out and excel as, like, far as football. Like, football, there's certain, characteristics that can set you apart from the rest of the field, but golf is just such a, like, a tight-knit competition where it's so hard to, like, stand out and really, like, do well to me.
Right. Right, yeah. I totally agree.
You guys got any more questions as far as Coda, Julian, Carter?
No, I'm good. I'm just chilling. I've got to do some homework and then probably grind Fortnite. I'm probably going to get another beer, get some food, and do some homework before I play some Fortnite till probably 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, right. That's bold.
No, on that note, y'all keep us joking and we'll do the same.